Thank you. We're joined as usual by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Nice to be here.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest Rhode Island State Senator Louis DePalma, a Democrat from Middletown. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here and happy New Year to everyone.
Rhode Island lawmakers are set to begin their 2020 session next Tuesday. One of the top issues facing the legislature is the fight between IGT and Twin River over which company will get to provide most of the gambling services in the state. Senator DePalma, you serve on the Senate Finance Committee, which held a series of detailed hearings looking at this issue. Do you expect the Senate to support an open bidding process for the gambling work for the state?
So, Ian, great question. We did, as a Senate Finance Committee, spend just shy of 25 hours over five hearings at the State House in 2019. It's unclear what's going to manifest itself from the hearings. I know the Senate President has articulated he's hoping and wishing both IGT and Twin River will come together in that. It remains to be seen.
How do you personally feel? Do you think it would be more in the state's interest to have an RFP and an open bidding process or to go with IGT, which is already in Rhode Island and which has a workforce of about 1,000 people here?
So prior to Twin River bringing Scientific Games, SG, to the table, they were in the minor leagues, and I shared that at the committee hearing as well. When Twin River brought Scientific Games to the table, and they also had Intralot and Camelot as part of that, they brought themselves to the major leagues and made themselves a formidable player to be able to bid on the multi-contracts we have for gaming in the state of Rhode Island. So I believe it could behoove Rhode Island to ensure we have the best for Rhode Island, the best for Rhode Islanders, to see how to bring that forward between the two companies.
Wouldn't the current scandal in terms of Twin River and these people that have been indicted suggest that if they can't even run the operation that they're supposed to be running, why would you take on them as a new entity when they haven't got their own house in order? Isn't that going to affect people's attitudes towards Twin River and its ability to play a larger game?
We should note there is only one person associated with Twin River who was charged in a recent criminal case, and that person no longer works for Twin River. But go ahead, Senator DePalma.
So I think having spent a fair amount of time looking at this, and we're talking about, at the end of the day, this isn't an information technology. It's a software. It's a computer program that drives the bulk of the work that's there. And looking at it and looking at the team that Twin River brought to the table, yes, it is a challenge. That is a part of their past. We have to figure out, if we do move forward with a competition, how do we work to get over that and make that it's all the cards are on the table, no pun intended there, from the perspective of moving forward with the gaming in Rhode Island. It's a $400 million piece of revenue. The video lottery terminals is about $300 million of that.
Scott, Governor Raimondo says she fears that if lawmakers support an open bidding process, that could make it more likely that IGT would leave the state with its large workforce. Is that a legitimate concern?
It's a legitimate concern if, in fact, that is the case. There's been an awful lot of smoke blown on both sides of this deal, and I really think the best thing for the state would be for Twin River and IGT to get together. You look at the disruption nowadays that happens in the digital world, well, 20 years is a long time to give one company a monopoly on those kinds of games. On the other hand, Twin River looks like, because of the competition from Massachusetts, it needs a little bit of a tax break, perhaps on their video games, their table games. So there seems to me that this is ripe for a deal where both sides give a little bit, and the state gets to preserve this $400 million revenue stream, which is the third largest way we get money in Rhode Island. I don't like it. A lot of people don't, but it happens to be the case. And we face a $200 million river of red ink in the deficit running through. So I think we have to do the best we can to preserve this kind of money.
One more quick question on this issue before we move on. For Senator DePalma, do you agree with Governor Raimondo that an open bidding process would increase the risk that IGT would leave Rhode Island?
I do not, but I concur with Scott with regards to there's plenty for both companies, the best of both worlds. We value both companies in the state of Rhode Island. We are paying a premium for what we have. If you look at all the deals that IGT has done, and we talk to the person who does all the proposals, there's not a contract that they bid on that has a 20-year commitment in the contract. They've done it for 20 years because of options or whatever, but this is the only contract that they have, I think, worldwide, clearly U.S., That is 20 years.
All right. Well, let's stay with Senator DePalma here. Scott mentioned how it's a new year, and once again, Rhode Island lawmakers face a very large deficit that needs to be wiped out ahead of the start of the July 1st next fiscal year, about $200 million in this current deficit. This happens every year, Senator DePalma. Does this show that Rhode Island is simply spending beyond its means?
It does happen every year, Ian. This will be my 12th budget. I mean, this will be my 12th year in the Senate and serving on the Senate Finance Committee as the first vice chair of the committee. I don't believe that's the case. The deficits come about because of out-year commitments the state has, and it's really driven by 3 to 5 key issues. One of those is 8 to cities and towns, driven predominantly by the car tax. This year, we'll get up to about $105 million of the $210 to do that. Education aid, we've increased that upwards of about $280 to $300 million over the last 9 years. Expect about another $30 million next year. Health and human service growth is another piece of that. As you mentioned earlier, the gaming revenue is sort of plateaued out. That's come down some. That was an out-year issue. And one of the other issues that we have to address is retiree health care and other benefits associated with that. We will get through this. It is a challenge of $200 million, so we have to figure out how to do that. And we've done it in the past without raising taxes.
Scott, as the senator says, some of this deficit is due to investment and tax relief. But the obvious takeaway is if there's this kind of deficit now and the economy takes a turn for the worse, the deficit will only expand by a large degree. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you may have to look for some new revenue. One place I think Senator DePalma would agree with me we should look for it is in a Medicaid tax on employers, particularly these big box companies. The Walmarts, the Best Buys, the fast food joints. Governor Raimondo did try last year to harvest some money from these are companies that basically are sloughing off their health care costs onto the taxpayer through Obamacare and Medicaid. And we should be able to claw back some of that money. It's only fair to the Rhode Island taxpayer. Now, I know the governor has been giving different signals this year on whether she'll go after it or not. I know these companies have strong lobbyists, and a lot of them, and they give a lot of money, some of them in political donations, but I really think that to be fair to the taxpayers, it's not right for Rhode Island taxpayers to be subsidizing these big out-of-state companies.
Maureen, what do you say about Rhode Island's persistent deficits and how big a concern is that for you?
Well, I mean, I agree with the senator in the sense that it's been that way for the past decade at least, and we always claw our way back. I think in the terminology of political science, it's known as muddling through. But nonetheless, I certainly agree with Scott in the sense that that seems to me the most obvious place where we are able to take back some money, and I think that's something that you should look at. There's no taste among anyone, I think, for any increase in taxes. I mean, we are trying to cut tax in terms of tax relief for the car tax. The other thing is we might see, in addition to sort of looking carefully at the administration and trying to save some money there, the other thing we might see is we can always look and try to look carefully at how we're spending money. But we have a very generous social system. We want that. We have a large group of immigrants that in the short term cost us money, but in the long term help us. You know, right. We're losing population. So I think looking at these different aspects and putting it all together, we will muddle through and perhaps come out a little bit ahead.
All right. That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And from Middletown, Democratic State Senator Louis DePalma.
Thank you very much, Ian.
As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.